It's great to be with you again and to be gathered again as a church. And for those of you who were here last Sunday, you will remember and recall that it was a very exciting day in the life and the history of the Hills Christian Family Centre. We were visited by Pastor Ian and Christine Miller, who really just preached a fantastic message and then engaged in a powerful time of prayer ministry after the service. And also then again in the evening at the Coach House in our worship gathering. And there's been lots of people who've been talking this week and sharing stories, and I just thought it would be great if we at least spent a little bit of time this morning hearing from a couple of those people. There were many more that were touched by Jesus last week, but I'm going to invite Andrea Sanders to come to the front and to share her story because... Andrea had a significant healing while she was being prayed for after the service, and I'm not going to steal any more of her thunder, but she's going to explain something of, well, what Andrea, you suffered, if you like, and then what happened last week and how things are now. So here's the microphone. You've got your notes, and there's a story in them as well. You can put them up there if you want, and let us know what happened. Nice and close.
Okay, sorry. I'd rather be in front of a group of kids than a group of adults. So if I start smiling, I'm just seeing you as little kids. That's it. About 13 years ago, I was actually injured while nursing. And because of that, I had something called complex regional pain syndrome, which means the nerves in both my arms and my shoulders causes a lot of restriction and a lot of problems. I have a lot of tingling and buzzing in my fingers. I was very restricted in my shoulder. And can I show? I can actually do this, and I haven't done this for 13 years. Wow. So that's a real blessing to me. On Sunday morning, I had a coldness in my arm. My arm's actually been getting colder and colder for the last couple of months, and we'd spoken to the GP about it. And last Sunday morning, it was freezing cold. It was like, it was actually dipped in an ice bath, and it was actually unbearable. And when Ian asked for prayer, I didn't have any choice. I just kind of got up off my seat and came down. Sam Barnes came over and asked whether he could pray for me, and I said yes, and he asked the situation, and I told him about the tingling in the feelings and the hot and the cold sensation and the real cold icy bath. So David was actually standing next to me, and he asked David to put his arm on my shoulder, and as he prayed, the coldness, that icy bath coldness disappeared, and then throughout the rest of the day, the coldness sensation just kept decreasing all the time. We've attended one, maybe two Sunday night services, and David and I just kind of knew we had to go. It was a no-brainer for us. And when we went there, I had this almost like this nervousness inside of me, which I used to get in my arm, but this time it was actually kind of all over me, and it was kind of like a buzzing, just sitting there almost as if it's going to sound weird, like a bee was sitting inside of me, just buzzing all the time. And Pastor Ian gave us a couple of games to be ready for the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit what he wanted us to do, and they were... they were really eye-opening for me. Christine Miller came over and asked whether she could actually pray for me. But initially when she came over, she said, "I've got a prophetic word for you." She said, "But I don't know what it is." So she said, "Can we just pray?" So I thought, "Oh, okay, yep." And as she was praying, just at the beginning of the prayer, she then said, she said that the prophetic word to me was that there's this flickering flame inside. And she said, "I don't really know much more about it, but there's this flame that's just growing and it's just flickering." She said, "Does that kind of make sense to you?" And I said, "Well, yeah, a couple of months ago, I'd always also been given a prophetic word, and that was also in that prophetic word, similar along. And so I know God's kind of got something in plan for me as to yet. I don't know. I thought it was one way, and during the week that door was slammed shut. So I know there's something else there. Then she asked my need, and I explained everything to her. And so she put her arm on my shoulder, and she started praying. And those that you were here last Sunday morning, Ian was talking about the talking to the need that you have and explaining how clever it is and how it is. And so that's what she started doing. She put a hand on my shoulder and she was going, "Oh, aren't you a clever little arm?" She said, "Look at you. You're going to be very good, aren't you? You know, come on." And she's holding my arm. It's the left arm, which I'm holding this with, which I couldn't normally do. She's holding my arm out. And then I can feel that I'm actually taking my weight. And she said, "You realise you're actually taking your weight?" And I said, "Yeah." And then somebody brushed past at the end of my wrists, and normally it had spasm, like carpal tunnel. That's the kind of thing that I've had in my shoulder. But I just felt it. It didn't spasm or anything like that. And it just kept rising and rising and rising. My hand just kept rising, which was pretty unbelievable. And at one point, they were up the front, both of them, like this, and she said, "Well, you just stand there and you just keep praising God for as long as you like," and which I did, and I have been. I'm not fully healed yet, but my shoulders have been released, and that's unbelievable. It really is. My pain has decreased, and the sensations, they're greatly improved, and this really is a miracle for me, and I'll just keep believing that the rest is going to come. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. And Andrea typed out those notes, which she hasn't been able to do for a long time. So good on you, Andrea. Thank you for that. That is fantastic. Okay, another answer to prayer last week was for Emily Moore, and I'm going to invite her to come forward and tell us what happened. Thanks, Emily.
Okay. I've just got notes in my phone, so she's a lot more prepared than I am. So 14 years ago, I was 18. I'll give you a second to do the math. Yes, I'm 32. You all know that now. So I was turning at a green arrow, and a lady ran the red light going about 100 kilometers an hour. Didn't even press on the brakes, and just it threw us about the length of this auditorium. So when everything was still, I woke up with my face about an inch from the pavement. I mean, I was finding glass in my hair for about a week, but I didn't have a scratch on me. So I felt very fortunate that I could walk away from this. But then just kind of as months went on, realized I had a lot of spinal damage. So the pain started about here and was all the way down. About a year after the accident, I had prayer for my neck, and I felt it release. I couldn't even sit my head much more than that without feeling like a knife was going in. So my neck at that point was released from the pain, but my back was just so bad. So after 14 years and 3 pregnancies, this past year has just been, my back has just been excruciating, to the point where when I wake up, I just think, I don't know how I can do this for 60 more years. And also, I mean, I'm 32 and I already had a fear of getting arthritis in my back, just knowing I would probably end up either in a wheelchair by the age of 60 or needing back surgery, both of which scared me a lot. But I just kind of thought, this is what it is. Very scared to even go see a doctor to be told what was going to have to happen. When Ian was here, a week before that, I had prayed with a few girls from Seton, and I told them I was excited about Ian coming. And they said, "Well, let's just pray right now." And so I actually got some of my movement back. I couldn't twist about much further than that without pain. And by the end of that night, I mean, none of that hurts, this is 14 years, my entire adult life, I've had excruciating back pain, and the fact that I can twist is, I just went home not even knowing what to say to Dan. I was so excited. So Ian came, and I was meant to be out in Sunday school and ended up back in here somehow. And I came down for healing, and there was some lingering pain in my neck, and he placed his hands on my neck, and instantly the pain was gone. And I felt it draining down my back, almost like I could feel the pain draining. And it settled down in like the last five vertebrae of my back. And he and his wife both prayed and said that they felt like God was going to fully release me from all of my pain, but that a lot of it's probably wrapped up in some things that we've been through this year, that it's probably partly my grief is manifesting itself in this way, and so thinking that those things are really closely linked. So on the way home from church, my pain in my back got so bad that I had tears in my eyes, and I just was kind of praying, like, God, I can't. I've been in so much pain for 14 years. I can't handle this pain for even, like, a week. It's just, oh, it was so bad. And we got home and walked into the house, and instantly it was gone. And so Violet ran up to me, and I picked her up and realized it's the first time I've ever picked up any of my children without it hurting my back. And I'm just kind of in shock still. Dan, I walked out and just said, Dan, it's gone. It's gone. So mine is similar to Andrea's. I've got some residual pain, but part of that is when he was praying, I could actually feel my hips realigning. So I feel like God has actually fully realigned my spine. And so it would make sense that I've had a lot of leg pain. So probably muscles that have been overcompensating for 14 years are able to relax and things like that. And so just believing that fully God is going to take away every little niggle of pain. But a few things I've noticed over this week is that every now and then I'll go to bend over and the pain is there. And I just feel like that is fully an attack of the enemy. And so I've just been placing my hands on my back and just praying over it, and it goes instantly. And so I've been challenged that this isn't just for me. God could have healed me at any moment. He could have even fully protected me through the accident, and I could have just not been injured. He could have fully healed my back when I was prayed for a year after. But he didn't. And I mean, it would have been a cool story, like, yes, I had an accident, and a year later I was healed, but now it's 14 years later where I don't even know how bad the damage was after three pregnancies. Like I said, I was too scared to go to the doctor. And so after a decade and a half, he has totally healed my back and fixed everything. So I've been challenged to tell everybody I see that I've been healed this week, and tell people at my work, and a lot of them are Christians, but there is one person there who has said he flat out does not believe in God, and I feel, every time I see him, I feel God's like, tell him. And he already thinks I'm a little crazy because he knows I'm a Christian and stuff. So I'm like, oh, he's just going to call the loony bin for me and just have me hauled off. But I'm going to see him on Tuesday, and I feel like really challenged that I need to tell him. So when God does things like this, I just want to challenge you guys to tell people it's not just for you. This is our witness. This is how we can show people God is alive, because nobody can tell me my back isn't healed. My back is healed. And that wasn't because of a doctor or anything. It was because of God. So when these things happen, I just challenge you to share it. So thank you all for listening, and I'll pass it back over.
Emily, thank you. That's great. They're just two fantastic testimonies, and there are many more, and we're going to aim to bring some of them to you. Gary and Ronnie Fagata have a fantastic story, but they're away this weekend, so I couldn't get them out the front, but we'll get them to share them with you at some stage. Emily said something that really does underline what healing is all about through the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is an act of compassion by God. There's no doubt about it. God takes mercy on us and moves into our circumstances and doesn't just save us spiritually, but affects our physical state. But not only that, physical healing, as Emily said, is not just about for us, but it is meant to indicate that the kingdom of God has arrived through and in Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus is who he says he is. He is the Son of God. He is the Saviour and Lord of all the world. And he is able to alter our circumstances and to enter in to our pain and our suffering and make a difference. So that's one of the key witnesses and messages to come out of what happened at the Hills Christian Family Centre last year. And obviously we can pray for each other at any time, and we will do that. We do that. Didn't need that. And there's a present, love. And We're looking forward to continuing to do that, but we're also looking forward to Pastor Ian Miller coming back with us and joining with us again in the future, which will be fantastic. Okay, so I want to speak with you for the remaining time that we've got today about a topic that I guess I was a bit cheeky when I chose it, called 50 Not Out. A bit presumptuous because I'm not quite 50 yet. That'll happen tomorrow. So I'm assuming for a productive and fruitful 24 hours until midnight when I'll get there. I wanted to perhaps take stock, a little pause, and talk about maybe some things learnt. I don't want to turn it into a chat session or an advice session or anything like that. But maybe just to reflect on what it means to arrive at this point in life. I'm believing that I'm halfway through my life. I'm going for that, all right? I'm going for three figures. I'm going for the century. Half a century is not enough, Sam. 50 not out. I'm believing I'm halfway through. So the rest is up to God, but let's just run with that, hey, and see how we go. And I want to ask you a question so you can help me preach this sermon. Firstly, if you were asked to stand before a group of people and you had to say to them what was the most important things or thing that you had learned in your life so far, in fact, let's just go for one thing, what would you say? I just want you to think about that for a moment. If you had to stand before someone or a group of people and your topic was the most important thing that I've learnt in life is, what would come out? We don't have think music. Dave, I don't know if you've got think music. Just think about it. In fact, what I now want you to do is turn to somebody close by after you've thought about that and say it's this. All right? You've got 30 seconds. You're going to preach to the person next to you. The most important thing that I've learnt in life is go. Okay, who would like to preach now? No, okay, just kidding. So what is it that comes to your mind when you think about the most important thing that you've learned in life so far? I really, to be honest, struggle getting it down to one thing. So I've had to take a slightly different approach and to see if I could come up with something maybe symbolise something that I felt was important to me that I had learnt in life. And look, it's probably not going to be a secret. It involves Jesus, all right? So I'll just give you, just in case you get disappointed and you think maybe it was going to be something else, but it does involve that. But the way that I try and often visualise answering the question is by sharing with you a dream or a vision that I have had. I haven't had it for a while, but I often used to visualise myself doing something for God, I guess you could say, it was interesting what came out of my mouth at that time. Do you ever dream about doing things? Are you a dreamer? Do you visualize doing things? Dreaming in our imagination is actually quite important because when you think about it, everything, good and evil, starts with a thought. Every great thing that's ever been attempted or achieved in humankind has been dreamt about or visualised or thought about first. So what we think about and what we spend time dreaming about is actually really important. And I like dreaming. I dream about lots of different things and think about those things. And one dream that I've often had that has come back to me a few times is going to sound really strange, but I just want to tease it out to you, all right? I often have thought about being in a supermarket, and I'm waiting there to pay for my groceries, and I've got a few things there, and in front of me are a young couple they've got a baby, they're holding a baby, and they've put all their groceries through, and they go to pay for them, and they don't have enough money in their account. And the supermarket person says, look, sorry, you're going to have to put these back. You don't have enough money. And there's this pause as they look at their goods and they look at the supermarket assistant. And there's this moment where I can step right into that space and say to them, would it be okay if I paid for your groceries today? I don't know what it is, but it comes back to me. I just think about the opportunity to do this. And then I really start to max the dream out. And I then see myself going up to the supermarket and they sort of looking at me and they're thinking, is he joking? Is he troubled? You know, should we call someone for him? Why would he do this? And then I go up to the supermarket assistant and I say, what's the maximum amount of cash out that you can get at this supermarket? And she says, you know, or he, whoops, 200, 300, you know, something like that. And I go, get that cash out for me as well as paying for these groceries. So the young couple are sitting there, they're watching me do this and they're thinking, what is he doing? I get the cash, I pay for the groceries, and I turn around and I put the cash in their hand and they're looking at me and there's this moment where what has happened provides an opportunity for some sort of comment. Because they're sort of lost for words, but they're starting to wonder, why would a person do this for us? Why would a person pay for something that's not theirs? Why would a person give not only pay for the groceries, but then give extra cash up to the maximum amount that was able to be given? Why would that happen? And I see myself in this moment stepping forward and wanting to say to them something like, I mean, it changes, but it's something like this, where I say to them, this happened so you might know that God exists and that Jesus is his son. Something like that. This happened so that you might know that God cares about you, that God knows about your circumstance, and that God at this particular moment in time has met your need and has lavished his generosity and his love upon you. You can tell this is starting to spin out into a sermon because they're thinking, okay, well, how long are we going to be here? But and at just at this moment, because of this act of generosity that's been prompted really for no reason whatsoever, their openness and their ability to acknowledge and receive the love of God just births something inside of this couple to say that maybe we are not on our own. Maybe there is someone that, you know, we can appeal to. Maybe there is someone that we can pray to about our affliction, lack of money, physical need, as we've heard about here this morning. And maybe actually, even though we've rocked up here today and looked like we were going to miss out on our groceries that we need as a family, maybe there is someone who actually knows and cares about our plight and is able actually to meet our needs, even through his people who know about him and who care about him. And as they are sort of hearing me say this, I then conclude the moment by saying to them, seek Jesus. Seek Jesus. Seek Jesus. And friends, if I had to quantify what life was about and what I had learned and lessons that I had understood, I could today go through a list. I mean, I could write a list. I could talk about how the fact that our choices in life matter, right? Things that we decide to do in our life actually have an impact on us and on others. I could definitely talk about that. We could have a nice old time talking about the importance of using wisdom in our choices and the way that they impact others. That's absolutely true. But even that reality, has to bow down to the fact that there is one who lives who actually even is over and above even the choices in life that we make. There is one who presides and oversees, if you like, even the choices that human beings make. And I'm sure as you pause for a moment and think about some of the choices that you've made in life, you're giving thanks for the fact, maybe, I hope, that there is someone who rules over even the things that we decide to do, even the things and the decisions we make. Because we're all too well aware at times of the choices that we've made in life that when we look back we think, boy, that wasn't so smart. You know, that really it wasn't a good idea. That really released within my life and even in other lives a lot of pain. And, you know, sometimes I hear people interviewed, you know, sportsmen and women, politicians. And, you know, sometimes I hear people say, I wouldn't change a thing. You ever hear people say that when they're interviewed? I mean, am I the only one who says, I wouldn't change a thing about it. And I think to myself, what kind of life have you lived? Like, I don't know. How can, really? Is it possible to live a life where you get and you're interviewed at the end of your life and you stand up and say, I wouldn't change a thing, you know, as if you've made the right decision at each and every time? I don't know if that actually, I don't know if they're telling the truth. But hey, I don't want to pick on them. But anyway, it's a funny thing for me to hear. Because I know when I look back on my first 50 years, I often feel all too aware of choices that have occurred at different stages. And I think, man, you know, if I would change that. Like if I had my time there again, if I knew then what I knew now, I would definitely do that differently. And I can find with quite a list. Now, I don't want to make anyone too depressed here today. And look, I think I can certainly think of decisions that I've made that I would make the same way again. I definitely would. I remember as a 17-year-old when I walked out the front and said yes to Jesus. And I can see how that decision to say yes to Jesus at that age influenced the rest of my life and in some ways protected me and kept me, I don't know, safe from myself or from the life that would have unfolded from that point if I had not become aware of the fact that there was someone who actually knew about me and cared about me. There was someone who actually had created me and given me life, had actually formed me and had planned and hoped all along that I would say yes to him. And then would use that decision to influence the rest of my life and point me in a direction where I was going to be a blessing not only to others, but hey, be a blessing to myself. So when I look back at that decision, I definitely give thanks for that. Now that decision has had lots of implications in my life that have required commitment, sacrifice, dedication, but saying yes to Jesus is one thing that I definitely do not regret. Even for all of the price that has had to be paid at times and the implications of that, I know and I am able to visualise, I think in some way, that if I had not said yes to Jesus, it just would have been such a different story. And I want to just pause for a moment while I'm preaching because I really feel to give you a little bit of a think space right here at the moment. And if you're a person that has said yes to Jesus, then I want you to just think about that decision for a moment. You might be able to remember a clear, distinct time when you crossed over from not saying yes to Jesus to saying yes to Jesus. You might be able to recall that. Maybe for you it was a series of gradual steps where you increasingly yielded your life to Jesus. But I just want you to think about that decision for a minute. Just think about that decision for a minute, because I reckon God wants to affirm that decision in you right now. I reckon the Holy Spirit just wants to say, oh, I'm really glad you said yes to me. I'm really glad that you said yes to Jesus. And that decision to say yes to me has influenced the whole of your life, has influenced your life for good, and has had a significant impact on your life. I really want you to hear that from God this morning. I really feel God wants to affirm that decision that you made to say yes to Jesus. Now, maybe you're a person, as we pray and reflect, who has not said yes to Jesus. Maybe you're a person who's here today, you're a curious or you're a guest or someone's brought you along. Maybe you took the wrong turn and thought this was the recreation centre, but you felt too embarrassed to leave, so you're just staying. It's open for a while later, so you'll be okay. We're glad to have you with us. And the idea of saying yes to Jesus is not part of your story yet. But I want you also to be encouraged and to understand that of all the decisions that we could make, saying yes to God's Son and receiving his salvation is the most significant that we can make, because so much of our lives and so much of our other decisions are informed by and influenced by our decision to say yes to Jesus or not. So I want you to contemplate that, because that's a decision that by you being here this morning, whether this is the 20th time you've been to church or the 200th or the first or the second, it's a decision that's been brought before you today by listening to this sermon. Now, you can be frustrated about that or angry about that. Maybe you're sick of being confronted by that decision. But for better or for worse, God is leading you into this space here today to be confronted by that decision, because it's an important decision. It's a crucial decision. And to resist Jesus and to reject Jesus releases into your life frustration and pain and anxiety, and it's just a sad way to go. But to say yes to Jesus is to open up yourself to the very presence of the living God, to receive the power of God into your life. And even for those who have said yes to Jesus here today, you've probably worked out by now, I think, that doing it once isn't enough. Did you know that? I mean, it's great to do it for the first time, but we actually have to say yes to Jesus, well, I recommend once a day. Probably might need to do it a few more times than that. But I want you to encourage all of you today in your decision to say yes to Jesus to renew your decision to say yes to Jesus right here and right now. Renew it. Renew it. Say it again. Lord, yes. Yes, Lord. I say yes to you. I accept your will for my life. I receive your plan for my life. I want to understand all about you and the destiny that you've placed in me and before me. And I want to walk in that path. I want to receive the fullness of your mercy and your spirit. I don't want to say no to you, Jesus, in any single way. I don't want to become bitter. I don't want to become full of pain. I don't want my circumstances to drag me down to a point where I'm saying no to you, Jesus. I don't want that. I want that to be your prayer here today, folks. I want your heart to be open again to saying yes to Jesus. I want you to make a decision again today for Jesus. I want you to make that decision again later today for Jesus. When you're faced with a choice between obeying him or doing your own thing, I want you to make another decision to say yes to Jesus at that point. In fact, I want our church here at the Hills Christian Family Centre to be filled with people that say yes to Jesus day after day after day, hour after hour, moment after moment. You know, because I think even something as simple as that, as we say yes to Jesus, as we obey his will, as we set out on a pathway of giving and of service and of sacrifice and surrender, you know, I think that one attitude could revolutionise the experience of the life of God in our church. As we're continually aware of that choice to say yes to Jesus, all those moments when we're thinking, you know, I think not right now, Lord, because I've just sort of started to think about something else. I've got a little bit distracted. I'm not quite happy with how things are, you know, so I'm just backing off a little bit, Lord. I don't think you can say that and use the word Lord in the same sentence. You need to find another word. Because Lord means Lord. Lord means Lord. He's your Lord. He gets to say how this works out. He gets to influence it, even while showing wonderful grace and mercy and kindness. So let's be a church that says yes to Jesus. Let's be a church that is filled with people who yield to him. And let's be a church where people come into our space and say yes to Jesus for the first time. Because we want you to know this morning, if you're in that category, you're yet to say that, we want you to know that we love it when people say yes to Jesus for the first time. We love it when people are born again. We love it when people come to a point and say, you know, I have been living my own way. I have been making my own decisions. I can actually see how that is selfish and self-centered, and I can even see how it causes me pain. And I want to make a decision to say yes to Jesus. I want that actually to be my next decision. I want to say yes to him. And I want to look back and say, that was a good decision. I don't regret that decision. I love the fact that I said yes to Jesus. So we want you to be encouraged today. You're special in our eyes if you're on that point of saying yes to Jesus. If you're at that moment of saying yes to Jesus, don't wait another moment longer. Don't put it off and waste any more breathing space in your life by reflecting and thinking and maybe and I'm not sure. Because you're here today to hear this so that you're going to say yes to Jesus. That's the whole point that God has brought you to this point in time, is to say yes to Jesus. And it releases a power and a destiny inside of you that affects you. But as Emily was saying before, it's not just about us, but it's about others. It's about others hearing about the mercy of God. So when you are healed of an affliction, yes, you do rejoice, but then you share it and say, this Jesus is real. This Jesus actually exists. This Jesus actually cares. This Jesus is looking outwards. He's focused on others. He wants to touch another soul. He wants to heal another heart. He wants to change another life. The life that we've been given is to be shared. And we love it when people accept that invitation and say yes to Jesus. Friends, the scripture that I've got here to share this morning is one of my memory verses. It's not a hard one, really. Most of us can probably recite it without actually knowing it where it is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Today, you'll hear it said if you listen long enough that, oh, there's many ways to God. There's many ways to, you know, fulfillment. I'm choosing this path. You choose whatever you want. Doesn't matter. But there's only one problem. Christianity won't fit into that way of thinking. Christians believe what Jesus believed. Christians say what Jesus said. This is what he said. And there's only one way to respond to God and to find the Father and to receive the grace and truth. And that's Jesus. Jesus didn't say, here is the way, or this is the truth, or live life like this. He said that he himself was the personification and the embodiment of those three things. He was the way, the truth, and the life. And when it comes to living life, when it comes to setting a course for 50 years, there's only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one life. There's only one gate. There's only one door. There's only one set of instructions, and that's to say yes to Jesus, to accept him at his word when he says these things. And when we express our faith in Jesus, we've heard two examples today of people who have submitted themselves to prayer, who have said, Lord, move in my life, heal me. Then we release into our lives a power that comes from nowhere else other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And friends, you won't find it anywhere else. It doesn't exist outside of the name and the life of Jesus Christ. So what I've learnt in half a century of living, there's no list. There's lots of reflections on this decision and that decision. Oh, yeah, we can sit around and talk about that for a while. But at the end of the day, there's only one thing that matters and that changes your life for the good, and that is your decision about Jesus Christ. And I pray that for my next 50 years and for the rest of your life, that that truth influences every decision you make, sets a course and a pathway for you that leads you along the way everlasting that is the pathway of Jesus Christ. And I pray today that if nothing else, my 50th birthday has brought this into your thinking and into your heart, perhaps for the first time or maybe the latest time. If my birthday has served no other purpose, then may it have served the purpose for you of lifting up and seeing Jesus Christ for who he is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth and the reality of your love and your life that is expressed to all humanity through the life and the love of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we've had this morning to hear again the priority and the purpose of what you have done for us through Jesus Christ. And Lord, for everyone sitting here this morning, for those who have said yes to you for the first time and who have said it often, Lord, I pray that in their hearts and their minds this morning, you would renew within them their acceptance and their yes to you, that you would rejuvenate the life that you have given them, and that you would restore them into a place that leans into you, that seeks after you, that receives from you, whether it be a healing or whether it be a help or a provision, that they in some way are enriched and renewed in you today, Lord. I thank you for their decision, Lord. And I thank you for their willingness to be renewed in you today. Father, for those people here today who have not yet said yes to you, who couldn't honestly say that they're a follower of you, Lord, I pray that you would renew in them, you would draw them to yourself here this morning, that you would encourage them and say, I want you and I'm waiting for you to say yes to me. Lord, I pray that they would be touched by your Holy Spirit right now, that they would be encouraged that you have been waiting and waiting for them for this moment when they would say yes to you and accept you as who you are, Lord and Saviour of all the earth, the only way to the Father, the way, the truth and the life, and that they would become your child today by saying yes to you and becoming a Christian, being a follower of you and being born again in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for those people as we prepare to come to the communion table in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I'm going to ask our ushers to come to the front now, and we are going to have a time of communion, which basically means we share together a piece of bread and a small glass of juice. which represent the gift that God gave to us through the death of his son Jesus Christ on the cross. And it is that death that breaks the power of sin and death in our life. It is that death on the cross through the power of the Holy Spirit that changes everything for us and has changed everything for humanity. We today are living on the other side of the cross. We are living on the other side of the death of the Son of God that releases into our lives his power and his love. And if you're a regular here today, I pray as you receive these emblems just to hold them, and we will eat them together in a few moments' time. But if you are a new person or a guest or someone who hasn't had this experience before, you've never taken communion, we want you to know that you're welcome to share in this here today. If you want to respond to Jesus, if you want to in some way acknowledge what you've heard today, then we encourage you, take a piece of biscuit, take a small glass of juice and hold it and reflect as the team leads us, as the team plays for us, and then we will come back together and eat and drink together in a few moments.